Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
AK Stout from Saying It Social. How are you tonight? It's Deb Evans.
Good. I still never get used to hearing my name sound so professional-like.
Yeah, I know. It's like Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC.com. Very good.
He's talking about us.
He is talking about us, yes. And we know what we're doing. So it is just going to be us tonight.
That's right.
I'm excited.
We have a fun show, a fun lineup, because I never miss an opportunity to talk about Twitter, because I still think it's so underutilized. Even when brands think that they're doing it really, really well, there's a lot more that you could be doing. So I'm very excited to share that with everybody tonight.
Right, great. But before you start talking Twitter, I was on Facebook for a few minutes and I saw the great picture you posted in that living area. So let's remind everybody that that contest is still open.
Yes. So if you guys didn't hear the show last week, I participated in a Pinterest Pin It to Win It contest for a furniture company local to me. And I had to design a room, and then three people were picked as finalists. And there are three stores near me, and each of the room designs were put into each of the stores. And whomever wins the contest, they get two pieces of furniture from their room. So there's voting in-store. There is voting by the judges' determination. But then there's social voting, where you can like pictures on or like an album on Facebook and comment and share, et cetera. The gal who is sort of spearheading the giveaway, she sent me a message and she said, you know, you might want to go take a picture of yourself in the room. She said that might be, you know, kind of easier to get people to like it if it's not so much, you know, vote for me so I win furniture and it's more personal. So I happened to be at the mall today where the store is, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to do it. So I'm on crutches and I'm in a cast. So my mom drove me and she was with me. So I went into the store and I sat down on the couch that I'm desperately hoping to win, because even after I sat on it, it was so comfy. And I brought my laptop, and you can see in the picture, my laptop on the back of it says, no doubt I'll be blogging about this later.
Yeah. I love that skin.
I took a picture and she uploaded it to the album so people can vote on it. So you can still go to the Two Geeky Girls blog at twogeekygirls.com. I think it's a three blog posts back where you can find all the links to vote. The furniture company is called Su Casa, which is S-U, and then Casa, C-A-S-A. And you can vote by liking and commenting and sharing. So that's me and my picture sitting on my hopefully soon-to-be mine couch. It's very exciting. Voting ends on Saturday, so it's not too much longer until I find out if I'm the winner.
Very good. Well, that's a really good picture of you.
Thanks.
And the whole living room. I like the furniture, but that's a really good picture of you.
Yeah, so I have my home and my cool pillows, and you know, if I win, I'll be sitting on those same couches looking pretty much exactly like I do in the picture, working from home on my laptop. So
very good. I like it. It was I caught my eye right away. So now this week was the first birthday of Charity Miles. Can you believe it?
I can't actually believe it. I feel like it hasn't been that long that we've been touting it, but I guess it has been.
You know, there's parts of me that think it feels like it's been longer since we've gotten to know Jean so well and the Charity Miles, and we use it every day faithfully. And it's just like, we've done several walks now for Charity Miles in New York and Atlanta, and I did one at IFA in Las Vegas, and it just seems like it's been much, much longer than that. But then again, not that long. So they celebrated their first birthday. He's doing the whole Charity Miles team, trying to raise some more funds so that they can get this app so that we can use it on the treadmill and other than just biking and running. I've used it on the kayak last weekend. I got the official permission. It's like, okay, is this legal if I use it on the kayak? And they said yes, do the biking or the running. And I put it in a watertight bag. And, of course, a thunderstorm came, so we had to get off the water. We're going to try it again this weekend. But it's really cool. And I like the – of course, the newsletter that they sent out today featured one of their first-time users or one of their early users, which just happened to be me.
Aw, that's great. Yeah, I love the story. If you follow them on Twitter or Facebook, a lot of times the posts are, posts about their users, which I think is really neat.
Yeah, so it's that's exciting. So Charity Miles is 1 year old. Happy birthday to Charity Miles.
Well, one of the sites that I have for Geek It Out tonight that my sister just told me about today will go hand in hand with that, so I'm very excited. So you guys will have to wait until the end of the show to learn about it, so stay tuned.
Okay. Any other updates that you have going on before we move to Twitter?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about this, what we're going to do about the next couple of weeks for Social Geek Radio, because I'll be traveling. Next week I'm going to Denver to visit my brother, but the following week I'm really excited. I'm teaching a social media class at Fort Benning in Georgia. So I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this or not, but I am. I'm teaching a social media class to the people at the Army base. So I'm actually really, really excited about that.
That is exciting.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun and a different experience for me, for sure.
Very good. Yes, I don't know. We'll have to see if Deb has Social Geek Radio by herself next week or not by myself. Anybody that's listening and that wants to be a guest, send you a little, bio and let me know, and we'll see what we'll do. We'll go from there. But very good. All right. So now tonight we're going to talk about, or you are going to share all your Twitter tips and things that we should do.
Yeah. So I do every month I do a two-day, I teach a two-day social media course. And I have, so what's that? It's like 7 hours each day. So I have 14 hours to talk about, I think it's, what is it, seven different social media sites and then strategy and then blah, blah, blah. But for sure, my two longest sections are when I do Facebook and when I do Twitter. And I always tell my students that for each of those, I could spend 6 hours talking about each one of them and how you can use them for marketing and really use it proactively, which is what I wanted to kind of convey in this class. So I think when a lot of people, or this class, this show, I think when a lot of people are working on Twitter, they're very concentrated on pushing out the right messaging and, carefully crafting that 140-character tweet. Making sure that, there's something engaging, there's something of value, there's a call to action, and that's all really great. And then there's the other, kind of the flip side to posting, which is, monitoring for mentions and listening and responding. And even so, before we get into a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about, a lot of brands and organizations will sort of drop the ball when it comes to that side of it. So they're really all about posting, and they're really good at pushing information out. But then when people are talking to them or talking about them, they fail to respond. So whether it's even a simple mention, if it's like a retail location or a restaurant and the person is saying that they went there, or whether it's a customer service type question and somebody is directly asking them a question, you just see a lot of companies not responding. I know I am kind of probably an odd case in this one, but if I have a question for a company, I always go to Twitter first. I'll look up to see if they have a Twitter account, and I'm going to tweet to their account and see if I can get my question answered. Because I feel like that's sort of where social media has come to. If, you know, you're going to be there, you have to really be there. You have to be listening and responding when your consumers are, you know, coming to engage with you and ask that question. So they want that, they're asking you that question on the social media channel because they don't want to call a customer support number and they don't want to fill out a contact form on a website. They want to go to the social media channel. They want to talk to a person and they want their answer sooner rather than later. So let's make that the first point, that that's easy to do. And there's, I'm saying that's easy to do, and I'm also saying that there's so many companies and brands that still don't do that. But really it comes down to having your notifications enabled so that when somebody literally mentions your Twitter username, you get the notification, whether you get it on your phone because you're using the Twitter app or you get an email notification because you have your notifications enabled. You get that notification, and even if you are, you know, you're somebody like me who handles social media for a variety of clients and you're not that designated person and your sole job is to do social media for that business, if that's your sole job and that's the only company that you're working for, you better be responding. You know, but if you're somebody like me and, you know, you're handling it for a lot of clients, you still better be responding. You know, I get my notifications on my phone and, you know, I always tell my clients and even people that, you know, I'm interviewing with or prospective clients of mine, because when I reach out to a company on Twitter, I expect a response within, let's say, within 2 hours. You know, usually I expect an immediate response, and that's kind of just how I am, and that might be different for different people. But I want you to get back to me within 2 hours. I don't want there to be this, oh, we'll get back to you within 24 hours policy, because that's not how social media works. Social media is a very sort of immediate back-and-forth communication. So if I'm awake, I will respond. If I get that notification pop up on my phone and I have my phone in my hand and it's sort of a simple, yes, I know the answer to that question, or even if I don't know the answer to the question that's come across, I can acknowledge that question. I'm going to go ahead and say to you, thanks so much for your question. You know, I'll look into it and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. So I really want to stress that point, that that's sort of the first step into getting more into using Twitter to your advantage as a brand. Everything else I'm going to talk about is still going to be very proactive, but it's going to require a little bit more on your part. So,
before you move on to that, as far as responding, I was listening to a presentation from Mari Smith I guess it was last week, and of course she's talking about Facebook. But she said that, you know, and you're right, you know, she said responding within 2 hours, but she said it's starting to move, and on Facebook, responding is, it's expected within 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I was kind of trying
really?
To get 2 hours and not freak people out. Yeah. I mean, because the kind of questions that people are asking that I've seen asked of my clients and that I ask the companies are kinds of questions that are sort of time sensitive. So, you know, let's say that I'm looking to go to a restaurant and I want to know if I can make a reservation. I might find a restaurant on Twitter and say, you know, I'm thinking about coming, I'm going to be there in 2 hours, so I need to make a reservation. You know, or, you know, something, whatever the case might be, the question could require a more immediate response. Otherwise, you might go and the competition is going to answer faster and you just lost out.
Right. Wow. So I guess anywhere between, so for people who, we don't want to freak them out, but 20 minutes to 2 hours, you're saying, you know, that window, don't go past that 2 hour window.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it depends on the nature of the business, really. But, you know, for anybody that's handling the social media for a business, you know, and anybody looking to hire somebody for this position, you know, I strongly recommend, you know, sort of during your interview or your screening process that you find out, you know, is that person, you know, willing to sort of be on call almost? And, you know, when that pops up, are they willing to, you know, answer if they can, or at least find out the answer as soon as possible? Of course, there's always, you know, extenuating circumstances where somebody is just simply, you know, out of touch, and, you know, that's going to be, you know, a rare occasion where somebody will let that go. But if you can, you know, from a brand perspective, if you can do it more so, you know, than less, you're definitely going to have a benefit over your competition. All right.
Very good.
So, yeah, so the first thing, so I'll have a client come to me and they'll say, I want to be on Twitter. I'm like, okay. So, you know, and really, I guess they want to be on Twitter because they've heard that they should be on Twitter, that there are, you know, I can't even tell you how many brands and businesses are on Twitter. But what's really important to figure out before you sort of go launching this, you know, full throttle Twitter campaign and setting up your profile and getting the perfect image and setting up your carefully crafted bio and your Twitter header is to really figure out, is your target audience on Twitter? Because if your target audience is on Twitter, the rest of it is sort of a waste of time. And you could have, you know, somebody doing social media because you said, okay, we need to do social media for our business, and that person is just pushing out tweets and, you know, haphazardly following people, and you have the follow up on Twitter button on your website and in your email signature and your email newsletter, and nobody's really following you on Twitter. And is it the result, or is it the case that the content that you're pushing out is not of interest or of value to people? Or, again, is it the fact that your target audience simply isn't there? So I always think it's very important to determine first if, in fact, your target audience is on Twitter. And I've had, it hasn't happened a lot, but I've had two companies in the past year come to me and say, I want you to do a Twitter training for me. I really want to, you know, embrace this whole Twitter marketing thing. I know it's really big. It's really popular. Let's do this Twitter thing. And we came to find out that nobody within their target audience was on Twitter, and it made sense just not to use Twitter. So what you can do is you want to start with a list, and you're going to step away from the computer for a few minutes, and you're going to get out the old school pen and paper, and you're going to make a list. And you're going to write down a list of how your target audience, the people who, you know, you sort of want or think would be interested in your products or services, how do these people self-identify? And you're going to start a list of characteristics. And it's not even necessarily characteristics that you attribute to them. You really need to put yourself in their shoes, and you need to figure out how they're going to self-identify. So what I mean by this is, on Twitter, a person has 160 characters to write a Twitter bio about themselves. So because you are so limited in the amount of characters that you can use, the words that you put in your Twitter bio are really the strong descriptors, or the strong ways, or the predominant ways that you describe yourself. You know, I came up with my Twitter bio and I said, you know, I do social geek radio, and I'm a vlogger, and I'm a runner, and this and that. And I really tried to pick the things that were very important to me, because not only was I doing that so people would know about me, but people run searches on Twitter. So I was trying to think of what words would people search for, to look for people on Twitter that would lead them to find me, and those would be the people I want to connect with. So you want to come up with this list of how your target audience would self-identify on Twitter. So are they runners? Are they moms? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they franchisees? Are they dog lovers? Are they teachers? Are they car buffs? So you really just want to come up with all of these descriptors about your target audience. And you could have a list anywhere from 5 to 100. And one of the people that I was mentioning before came to me with a list of 120 descriptive words about people within their target audience. And I kid you not, I plugged every single one of those words into the tool I'm about to tell you about, and I couldn't find anybody. Literally, I could find a couple of people, but I could see that they hadn't been active on Twitter since 2009. That's not going to help us at all. So So it really helps to start with this list. So this person was fully convinced that Twitter was where they needed to be. And they felt, surely if I have 150 different ways that people would self-describe themselves, I'm going to find these people on Twitter. And I'm here to tell you that wasn't necessarily the case. So start with this list. And then what you want to do is you want to go to a site that I use very, very frequently called Follower Walk. We talked about this on Geek It Out before, but it's F-O-L-L-O-W-E-R, so follower, and then wonk, W-O-N-K. So followerwonk.com. And you don't have to sign in with anything. You don't have to create an account. You can. There are many things that you can do on this site. But for this purpose and sort of what I use it for is something that you don't have to sign in for. And that is the tab that you're going to see at the top all the way to the left that says Search Twitter Bios. And then what I want to do is you're going to get a search box. And then right under that search box, you're going to see a little link that says More Options. So I'm going to click on that to see all of my different search criteria that I can put in. So I've already established my list of how these people would self-identify or words they might put into their Twitter bios. So I'm going to start at the top, and I'm going to put those words into the top box here. So let's say I just want to put in mom, and the person is saying that they're a mom. Now, the only other box that I use on here for modifying this search is the location box. So if your business or your brand or your organization serves nationwide or worldwide, you'll probably leave the location box blank because the location doesn't matter to you. But if you are a business that serves a local market, you might want to put in a location because you don't care if you find a mom who lives in Nebraska if you can only service Ohio. So I might come in here into the location and I might put in Baltimore, Maryland. And then I'm going to click on the button that says Do It, which is the search button. And I'm going to get a list of Twitter accounts of people who have the word mom in their Twitter bio who live in Baltimore, Maryland. And then what I can do is, what I want to do now is I want to get on these people's radar. I don't want to be overly promotional. I'm not going to spam these people. I just want to let them know that my business and my brand is here. So first I need to find out if these people are still active on Twitter. So what we see on our screen is it'll tell me how many tweets these people have, how many people they're following, how many followers they have, how old their account is, and their social authority. The social authority, I think, is a measure similar to clout where they're using some sort of algorithm, although it does not align with clout. I don't really pay attention to that too much because I haven't researched enough about the site to find out how that algorithm is determined. And honestly, I don't particularly care how many followers they have or how many people that they're following or even how many tweets they have. I just want to know if they're active on Twitter. Because if they're active on Twitter, we're going to assume that they have their email notifications enabled such that when somebody follows them on Twitter, or somebody mentions them, or retweets them, or favorites one of their tweets, they're going to get an email notification. Within that notification, they're going to see that, say me, AK Stout followed you on Twitter, and it's going to have my picture, my name, my username, my bio, and my website. So I've essentially just gotten myself and my bio and all of my other information into their email inbox. So I didn't have to tweet to them and say, I do social media marketing, I teach social media, check out my website. They would not take to that kindly. They would think that was spammy and self-promotional, and they would probably block me. And if I did that too many times, I would be blocked by a lot of people, and my account would be suspended. But you like them, or you follow them. So let's say you additionally want to get on their radar. So you're going to scroll through their tweets, and you might click favorite on a tweet. Because it wasn't necessarily relevant to your audience to retweet it, and you didn't have anything of value to add or something clever or witty to say in response, but you wanted to click the favorite button because you wanted them to let them know that you read that content. So that's another way. Again, they're going to get that email notification, and you're going to get in their inbox. So before we decide if these people are valuable and of worth our time, again, we need to figure out, are they still active on Twitter? Are they living and breathing and potentially going to receive these email notifications about us? So it's just as simple as clicking on their name. It's big and bold and blue and highlighted for each Twitter account that has come up in your search results on the follower long site. It's going to open their Twitter account up in a new screen. All you have to do is look at when their most recent tweet was. Was their most recent tweet in 2009? Was their most recent tweet in March? Or was their most recent tweet 20 minutes ago? I typically think that somebody is still going to be active on Twitter if they have tweeted within the last 15 days. And you can, you know, take this advice or leave this advice and decide how to do it. But, you know, if I see somebody who tweeted within the last 15 days, I'm going to think, okay, they're probably still pretty active. Maybe they went on vacation. Maybe they had surgery. Maybe they're giving themselves a social media fast. So I'll probably go ahead and follow them or favorite a tweet if it's been within that amount of time. But if it's been too far back, I'm going to say they've given up on Twitter altogether, and it's not even worth me following them or favoriting a tweet or trying to get on the radar if they're simply probably not active on Twitter anymore. So that's how I use the follower walk site. I would then go down my whole list of characteristics or descriptors that I've come up with for my target audience. Again, if it's geographic specific, I'll type that into the location box, and then I'm going to look for active Twitter people who fall within these categories and within this location. I'm going to follow them and perhaps look for an opportunity to favorite one of their tweets. Now, what I also want to do is I want to look at their Twitter bio. So if I look at their Twitter bio, aside from the word that I've already identified sort of dumps them into my target audience, and I think that they really may potentially need my products or my services sooner rather than later, I might add them to a list. So on Twitter, you can add people to lists. They can be private lists or they can be public lists. You might create a public list if you were going to do, I used to have a public list for pet lovers. So everybody that I found that was tweeting about how much they love their dog, or they love their cats, or the ASPCA or anything like that, I put them into a Twitter list. So if I wanted to one day go in and just see what people were tweeting pertaining to pets and their animals and that sort of thing, I could go into my Twitter account, click on my list, and I could just see all of those tweets. So I made that a public list. Because if you have a public list, people can subscribe to it. So other people could then use that list and look at the same feed. But when I'm talking about prospecting and, you know, really trying to work a list of people and make sure you're getting on their radar and ultimately kind of trying to stay or get to stay top of mind within somebody, I'm going to make private lists. And that's just a setting when you go to into your list section and you're creating a list, it says, do you want to make it public or private? You can just make it private. So only you can see it. Nobody can see your list. So what I might start to do is I might start to say, okay, this is a high target list. I can just tell by, you know, so let's say I own a running store in Baltimore. And within somebody's Twitter bio, not only does it say that they're a runner, but they're an ultra marathoner and they're a triathlete and they're a run chat ambassador. I can really see that this person is all about running. So I really need them to know that my running store in their area exists. So I'm going to throw this on. I'm going to throw them on this list of sort of high target prospects. And I'm going to make sure that I return to my high target prospects list a couple of times a week, and I go through and I see what they're tweeting about. If they're that high target, in this case, if this person is all about running, and I own a running store, and they're tweeting that they, you know, ran 50 miles this week, and they went out at dawn, and this is the pretty picture that they took, or this is the pretty scene that they took a picture of while they're out running. Chances are there's some way that I can engage with them. So I can tweet to them and I can say, that's a really pretty picture, or congratulations on your 50-mile week. If they're that high target, they're going to be that so closely related to what it is that I am offering that I'm going to be able to correspond with them. And you want to work that list. You want those people to know you exist. You're going to reply to them. You're going to mention them. You might mention them in a Follow Friday. So if you're not familiar with Follow Friday on Twitter, it's when you use the hashtag Follow Friday, or just simply FF for Follow Friday, and you recommend people that you follow that you think other people should follow as well. So you might find this great list of people who you really enjoyed engaging with, or you really think provide value, and they're in your target market, and you really want to get on their good side, and you might mention them in a Follow Friday. Because I can only speak for myself, but when somebody mentions me in a Follow Friday, I take it as a compliment, because they've taken the time to mention my Twitter account in one of their tweets, and they're recommending me to all of their followers. So that's a kind of an extra way to get on somebody's radar of recommending them to your followers. So that's your high targeted list that you have identified, again, by using that site follower walk to find these people. Something else that you can do is you can take a look at the people who are following you on Twitter. Now, if you're trying to get followers on Twitter, it's pretty average that approximately, give or take, 50% of the people that you follow on Twitter will follow you back. And it just depends on, you know, the nature of your organization, and, you know, if you have a nice bio and a nice picture and you have all your information filled out and your tweets aren't, you know, really creepy or anything like that. You know, but if you're doing a good job on Twitter, you've got kind of all of your ducks in a row, and you really are targeting people who you've identified would legitimately benefit, and that's the key word, they would benefit from your product or service, approximately 50% of them will follow you back. So I highly recommend for businesses and organizations who are using Twitter for marketing that you pay very strict attention to every single person who follows you on Twitter. Now, you could be Starbucks, and I can't even imagine how many followers per day Starbucks gets. And I would so recommend this. And this brings me back to point, and I think this was Dave Kirpin, who we had of Likable Media. And it wasn't the most recent time he was on Social Geek Radio. It was the very first time we had him on Social Geek Radio, and I will never forget this. And Deb, I think it was you who asked him the question, and you said he was talking about engagement. And you said, you know, if you just have too many people who are asking questions or commenting on your social media channels, you know, what do? How do you possibly respond and answer and field all those questions? And I swear I'll never forget, and this runs in the back of my mind all the time from when companies have this objection. And he said, if you have a company that has more questions and comments coming to it than whomever is responsible for it can field, you need to hire more people to manage those accounts. And it was like the smallest little thing, and that is one of the most profound bits of advice I think we've ever gotten on the show, where if you're Dell or you're Coca-Cola and you have this influx of people constantly talking to you, these people want to be heard and they want to be responsible or responded to, you know, if you can't handle it, you hire more people to handle it, because these are all people that could potentially be, you know, customers and, you know, referrals down the line. So I can't even remember where I was going with that now, but, you know, it was up. The follower. So I want you to pay attention to every single email notification that you get when somebody follows you. And hopefully, if, you know, you're kind of just one person and you're paying attention to the people that you follow, if somebody follows you back, you can look at that account and say, okay, that's good. They followed me back because I followed them. Or you don't even have, excuse me, you don't even have to remember. You can click through to them from your email notification, and you can look at them and say, oh, okay, you know, we're mutually following each other. There's no other step I have to take. I probably just followed them, and that's why they're following me back, and that's great. They're part of my 50% statistic. But there are people who will follow you because they'll find you first. So they'll follow you because you're a retailer or you're a restaurant, and they were in your store, or they were in your restaurant and they saw that Facebook URL that you have on your menu, or the Facebook button that you have, or the poster that you have at your cash register, whatever the case may be. They found you first. So you get this email notification. You can see their bio. You click through to the account, and you're not already following them. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at their bio. I want you to look at their website. I want you to look at where they live. And I want you to figure out, is this person somebody that might one day buy from you? Might they need your product? Might they need your service? Did they follow you because they're looking for a resource? They're looking for a product, or they're looking for a service provider, and maybe they're shopping around, and you're one of 10 other businesses like yours that they have opted to follow. So if you can look at that information that they have on your Twitter bio, on their Twitter bio, and you can feel even semi-confident that they could one day turn into a customer, I want you to put them on a prospect list, or these people follow me and could one day need me list. Again, you can make these lists.
I like that list.
You can make these lists private, so nobody's going to see the names of the list. They just need to make sense to you. So you can put these people on a list, and you want to work this list as well. Because let's say, as I just mentioned, these people are shopping. So let's say these people are looking for a social media services provider. They come and they followed me, they followed Saying It Social, and I'm not going to dare name them, but they followed these other 9 social media companies because they want to see the value that these companies are providing. Well, if I put them on this prospect list and I work this list, I guarantee you my competition is not doing this. If I return to this list 3-4 times a week and I click the favorite button on some tweets have posted. These tweets that these people have posted, they had nothing to do with social media or anything that I care about. But I might want them to know, hey, I read your tweet. So I'm going to click that favorite button. They're going to get that email notification that Saying It Social has favorited their tweet. That's going to get me back on their radar, back in their email inbox, seeing my bio, seeing my URL, giving the option for that. And I'm going to keep working that list, because if I keep doing that and I do that 2-4 times a week, again, I'm not spamming them. I am not sending them all those direct messages. I am not tweeting to them and saying, hey, I think you need my social media marketing services. Check out this link on my website. I'm not doing any of this. This is very passive-aggressive Twitter marketing. I am simply trying to tap them on the shoulder and get on their radar simply by getting in their email inbox. So if they were shopping and they followed 10 other social media marketing companies, and I am the only one that added them to this, you know, people I think might need my services in the future list, and I am favoriting them, or maybe they did say something, like they said, you know, they went for a 5-mile run. That might not be at all relevant to what I do, but there's nothing saying I can't say, congratulations on your accomplishment. I just want to stay on their radar because I want to be top of mind when they go to make that purchase or that buying decision. So that's another way we're going to use our list. So the other thing you can do besides identifying people, we've talked about identifying people by how they have self-identified in the Twitter bios. We have looked at people who have followed us, and we've added them to lists. The other thing you can do is simple keyword searches. So let's forget about or put aside for a second what people have put in their Twitter bios. Let's talk about the words that they're including in their tweets. So if I am a restaurant in Baltimore, Maryland, that presumably serves dinner, I might want to save a search for dinner, the word dinner, in Baltimore, Maryland, because perhaps somebody is looking for dinner recommendations, or somebody is coming in town for work, or for an event, or they had a horrible experience at a place that they went to for dinner. I want to make sure that I see those tweets, because that gives me the ability to decide if I can jump in some positive, proactive way and offer my services or let them know that I'm there or be the hero. So if, you know, they had a bad experience at dinner in Baltimore somewhere, I can say, that really stinks. We're sorry to hear that. We'd love you to try our restaurant. You know, show us a tweet next time you come in and get 15% off of your check. Deb, I think you might remember this, even though unfortunately you weren't there. I think it was last February or the February before. I spoke at the Computer Explorers Conference downtown in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And it was in Federal Hill in Baltimore. And I was just, you guys, if you're frequent listeners of the show, you know, and I think I mentioned this at the beginning, that I like to test companies. So I like to tweet to companies and see if they're going to respond to me or words that I think that companies should be monitoring. So I knew I was going to be in Federal Hill for a couple of days. So I sent out a couple of tweets and I said, heading to Federal Hill to speak at a conference, where's the best place to go for lunch? Or, you know, what do you got, you know, what's recommended for dinner? Just using simple words, again, that, you know, companies could monitor or those restaurants or organizations could monitor in that area. And I think I had two people not associated with any restaurants or organizations that responded to me and said, oh, you should go to XYZ. You know, they have awesome whatever. So, I know the majority of you guys probably aren't familiar with Federal Hill in Baltimore. I would say there's probably 50 restaurants in a, 10-block radius in Federal Hill in Baltimore. If just one of those restaurants had saved searches for the word lunch or dinner in Baltimore or Federal Hill or anywhere down in that vicinity, if any one of them had responded to me and said, hey, that's awesome that you're speaking at a conference, welcome to town. They didn't have to know I was a local. You know, welcome to town. You know, we have these happy hour specials going on, or, you know, Monday night is crab cake night. I would have hands down, even if they had, you know, negative Yelp reviews, I would have hands down gone to that restaurant because they responded. They cared enough to be doing what they should do and monitoring those keyword mentions, and they reached out to me. And again, not one single one of them did, which shocked me. So you can't easily do this on Twitter. Natively in Twitter, the saved searches are pretty poor simply because there's no alerts associated with them. You can run a search on Twitter, and you can even go to twitter.com. You go to twitter.com/search. Yeah. If you go to twitter.com/search and then you click on the link that says advanced search, you can get some advanced search parameters. There you could type in dinner, lunch, whatever those words are that you would be monitoring for, and you can do it by location, like you could for follow along. So in the places section, it'll say near this place, I could say near Baltimore, Maryland, and I can do a search. So it's going to run a live search for me. And if I want to save this search, there's sort of a little cog drop down at the top of my search results and I can do save the search. Unfortunately, your saved searches are pretty hidden on Twitter. The only way you can find your saved searches are if you put your cursor in your search bar and click, and then any saved searches that you have created will pop up, and you can go down through the list and select them, and it will essentially rerun that search and bring up the most current results. So, again, no notifications for that. In my example, and this goes back to, Deb, what you were saying about people looking for, you know, the answers within 20 minutes, if I had been sitting at the conference and I knew we were breaking for lunch in a half an hour, I could have tweeted and said, sitting in Federal Hill, where should I go for lunch? And if these restaurants in Federal Hill were just relying on haphazardly having to come back and check their safe searches, you know, unless they were smart enough to say, okay, you know, within an hour of lunchtime, we should keep running the search, they probably wouldn't have known about it. But you can use all their services. So I've been using Hootsuite a lot lately and just kind of keeping Hootsuite up. So if you create a column on Hootsuite for saved searches, you can go back and you can check that out. There is a tool that I've mentioned before called Uno. It's Y-O-O-N-O.com. And it basically docs sort of a control panel on either the left or right-hand side of your screen. And every time you there's a new tweet that has to do with your safe search criteria, you'll get a little notification about that. But again, you have to be sort of sitting at your computer to check for these things. So I'm still looking for one that works on popping up on an app, because a lot of these, you know, especially for my restaurant example, you know, these people who are running around in a restaurant aren't necessarily sitting at the computer, you know, even staring at these tools that do alert you to new notifications. But I think it is still really important, you know, even if you're a business where you can't monitor it on the go, if you use something like Hootsuite, or another one that I use is Mention.net. You can use Mention.net, and you can monitor hashtags. You can monitor other keyword searches. Sprout Social is one that I've used in the past. You can monitor keyword mentions by geographic location, and you can get notifications about those. It's just really important. So whether you're going to get it on the fly because you're sitting at your computer, or at least you can check it periodically throughout the day, it's a really great opportunity to reach out and to sort of the be there at the right time marketing, or the right place at the right time marketing, I guess is what I want to say, that people are talking about things right now in real time, and you or your business or your organization has products or services that can help them or answer their needs or their wants. And I think that's one of the beauties of Twitter. So I think, again, I could talk about this for 6 hours, but I think that what I put in the description of the show, I pretty much covered everything that we could at least start thinking about. Maybe we can do a part two. We can start thinking about on our kind of getting on the radar of our target audience on Twitter segments.
Well, I have listed and tweeted, I've probably driven everybody crazy that follows me, 10 tips, and I was trying to get them as quickly as you were giving them. So there are a lot of tips there, and I know you could do a part 3 and 4 and continue, but we don't want to get grief from our audience that's waiting for the geek it out, and I think we've got about 10 minutes left here.
In the time.
Yeah. Those were a lot of tips, so I'll have to go back and look at them. So you ready to move on? I don't see any questions in the chat, and I don't see any that have come through Twitter. So you want to go to Geek It Out?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, let's see what it says. Oh, I don't know what that music is. Let's see.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level?
I'm going to turn it off. I don't want that one. I was looking for the Social Geek Radio song. I'm sure I could give up. Hold on. That's what I want.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother.
Okay. I was playing around with the dashboard. I have to get rid of some of that stuff that's on the dashboard because I'm going to open up. I don't know what I'm going to open up next time.
I know. When I set up the show, all I click on is commercial one, and I don't touch anything else.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. So, okay. Now my computer's acting up, but I've got my iPad open, so hopefully I can get to some of the links that you're going to share. But let's geek it out.
Okay. All right. So this is the site that my sister just told me about a couple of hours ago. So I really haven't had too much of a chance to explore it yet, but it sounds really cool. And my sister tries to be as non-geeky as possible because I think she's afraid she'll turn into me. So to say that the site was a really big thing. So this one is called walkscore.com. So walkscore.com. Walkscore.com. So when you go here, and they also have a mobile app that you can use if you want, but she was telling me that she uses it right from the site. You can just type in your address where it says get score at the top, and they give you a walk score on a scale from 0 to 100, and it rates it on your proximity to local businesses, local retailers, restaurants, public transportation, bike paths, so on and so forth. And then after it gives you that score, it breaks down all of those places that are near you into categories. So let's say you always kind of thought that Starbucks was pretty close to you, but you weren't really sure. It will say, hey, Starbucks is only 0.6 miles away from your house. Instead of driving here every morning, why don't you walk your lazy butt down here? It doesn't say that. But, so you can use this, you know, for your own neighborhood, just kind of re-explore your neighborhood and see what actually is. Might be closer to you than you thought it was. But I could, going back to my days of being a realtor, I could see, you know, people who are, you know, sort of really interested in a walkable neighborhood. They could put the address in of the house or the houses that they're looking to buy and see what the walk score is for those houses, if that's important to them. Or even if you're traveling. You know, I'm going to Denver next week to visit my brother, and he's only lived there for 2 years, so, you know, it's quite possible he's not privy to all of the great things that are around him. I could type his address in here, you know, and see all the cool things that we could potentially walk to while we're out visiting him.
Oh, you know, where I see I can use this is when I'm trying to map a charity miles walk in a community that I'm not familiar with. This is perfect.
Yep. Yeah, as soon as Kendall told me this, I said, Deb is going to love this. I just
loved it. Yes, Deb just bookmarked it. Oh, this is perfect.
Yeah, so I tied it into the beginning. It's a great way to get some more charity miles in because now you know better and more places that you can walk to instead of driving to around you and turn on your charity miles app while you're walking there.
Love it. Okay, bookmark.
All right, so that's the walk score. The next one I have for you is, I have two that you shared with me this week that we can co-share with everybody. So the next one is an app, and it's called Mommy Nearest. So Mommy, and then N-E-A-R-E-S-T, Nearest. And actually, I didn't look at this. Is this just for iPhone, do you know?
I don't know.
No, it's for Android, iPhone, and iPad. So it's just an app for moms where it tells you the local or the closest parks, playgrounds, kid-friendly attractions, the nearest bathroom or changing station, health places in case of an emergency, the closest pediatric urgent care facility, and shopping. So it's kind of the go-to app for moms.
Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet because I do have the I've got the grandkids with me a lot, so I definitely want to check this out because certainly for where do you change the baby's diaper, what is the cleanest place to have lunch, or you know,
all of it, you know, the park. I really, really like that. I think it just looks like it's great.
Yeah, it sounds really good. So I will bookmark that for me for the future when I have.
Well, you've got the grand or the niece.
Yeah, I have a niece and I have a goddaughter. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one that you sent to me is called Quixi, and it's Q-U-I-X-E-Y. So Q-U-I-X, as in X-ray, E-Y. And it says it's the search engine for apps. So there are sample searches here where it says that it's for cooking, for sleeping, for working, for studying. I imagine you can do it for productivity or social networking or probably for health or for fitness. You can search
walking tours. I put in walking, and there's a whole bunch of walking tours in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
If you're looking for a mobile app or a desktop app, and you can do it by browser. So it looks like all sorts of fun stuff. So, yeah, I can imagine. One of the things that I've been really looking for, again, because I have Android problems, and I know that there's a whole bunch of cool iPhone apps for this, is one that will help me remember to drink more water. So I'm going to – I know Sarah uses one. I can't remember what it's called, but it has, like, a fun little person, and as you add your water for the day, it, like, fills the person up. And I just need, like, a cool visual like that. All of the ones that I found for Android, they're kind of boring. So I'm going to use this both for a hydration or a water reminder app and see what I come up with.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's fair.
And I like for mobile, you can break it up into Android or iPhone, so I can actually find the app that are pertinent to the Android. But yeah, definitely great, and I can always use more apps. So.
Use more apps, and I heard that one from Robert Scoble, who put it on Google Plus the other day. So I knew it would be good.
All right. Well, the last one I have is also an app. And it's called Ibotta, and it's I-B as in Bob, O-T-T-A. So I-B-O-T-T-A. And you can just go to ibotta.com, and you can find the download for iPhone or for Android. And you basically earn cash back when you shop. So you can look for offers. So it could say that if you go to Harris Teeter or Whole Foods or Wegmans or whatever the case may be, and you buy, as you can see on the site, simply orange juice or Pop-Tarts, or you buy popcorn, it's going to give you 25 cents, 30 cents back, or however it is for buying these items. You just scan them. You click on them, and then you scan them with the app, and it kind of accrues the money that you're earning back by buying these products. So the companies kind of get a benefit of it because they're hoping that you will buy their products because you're seeing them on the app and it's some exposure for them, and then you get cash back. I even recently saw they were doing movies. So I think it was Silver Linings Playbook was on here, and I could click the button and the movie would play on my phone, and after I watched the movie, granted it was on my phone, but I could have hooked it up on my computer, I was going to get $5 just for watching the movie on my phone.
Oh, so, my son's going to love this one.
Yeah.
You're going to be his hero.
Yeah, so, I mean, literally, I mean, there's pizza, there's chicken, there's beauty health products. I've talked about an app like this before on the show, but this one has a full range of products from lots and lots of different stores, and the money back is a lot more than I've seen on any of the other apps, and it just hooks up to your PayPal account. So I've been checking this before I go anywhere to make sure I can get cash back.
Cool. Okay. Well, we're down to like 10 seconds left for the show. So all good stuff. Thank you so much. And everybody that was in the chat, I didn't get to chat with them or talk to them, but thanks for listening. And thank you, AK, and travel safe, and I'll see you online.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
So, the time you listen to is mine.
social media.